Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. Negotiations Ninja listeners, brilliant conversation today with my new friend, Anthony Clervey. He is the leader at UNA, which is a group purchasing organization, or you'll hear us use the acronym GPO. And I mean, recently, GPOs have just become super popular. There's been so much risk brought into the global supply chain that it requires us to look at purchasing differently. And there are solutions that GPOs provide that we just can't provide on our own. Most importantly, scale, especially when you're talking about purchasing at a local level. So being able to get those decent prices that you want locally requires you to have scale so you can drive costs down. And we had a fantastic conversation today. I really, really enjoyed it. Highly encourage you to reach out to him. Great guy, super knowledgeable about what he does. Enjoy. Anthony, how are you?
Great, Mark. How are you doing?
I am really, really well, man. I am blessed to be healthy and happy at home with my family, which is wonderful. And I'm really excited to have you on the show, man.
Well, awesome, Mark. I feel the same way. And I'm at home, and it's a beautiful day here in Kansas City.
Nice.
And my wife and two kids are... We're like in between naps, so hopefully this is a fluid conversation as we're all in this new reality, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Kids diving all over each other. My kids yesterday they've got cabin fever in a big, big way, and they've decided to start practicing wrestling moves on each other. So there are some top rope moves from the top of the couch onto each other, and like ended in disaster. Anyway,
perfect.
Just
WWE.
Yeah, definitely like channeling their inner Bret Hart, which is amazing. Hey, man, before we get started, let the listeners know who you are and what you do.
So, yes, my name is Anthony Clervey. I'm the president and CEO of UNA. That's the fancy. I go with the title of growth advocate. And UNA is a group purchasing organization or group purchasing advisor. We help companies of all shapes and sizes save money on indirect tailspin products. So everything from like office supplies to telecommunications to travel, you name it. And we've been doing this now for quite some time, and it's been a lot of fun. I think we kind of try to position ourselves as we want to connect with our member and our future members in a unique way. And we kind of jokingly say, like, we want to welcome people into our universe, and we want to be a GPO of the people, for the people, by the people. Nice. And just try to make something. And at the end of the day, we believe the GPO has a place within the overall procurement strategy. And there's a blend approach that we would recommend that every business and even healthcare too look at it. So that's the down and dirty.
So there are a lot of people that listen to this show that are in procurement, but they might not actually even know what a GPO is. What is a GPO?
Fair question. So a GPO is a technical term there, a little acronym, a group purchasing organization. And essentially, what we've done is we've negotiated contracts with major brands in thousands of different categories. And we've leveraged all that spend together, over $100 billion, actually. And we have negotiated contracts that allow for speed to savings and speed to service. So a shorter version is, depending on how big you are and category of spend, we like to say we help you as the small cap or mid cap business buy like the big guys. And so typically most GPOs are free to join. Every model is a little bit different. And you as the end user or end entity organization benefit from the leverage spend. You jump on the contracts that make sense a la carte and work directly with supplier. There's no hidden angles. And usually the conversation, Mark, starts with, well, what's the catch? Or, you know, how is it free? And again, every model is a little bit different. UNA, as an organization, we don't charge. All of our relationships and the economics are built in with our supplier partners. Mm. And so we look at things differently. So the long and short of it, again, to kind of tie a bow on it is look at a GPO as an opportunity or an option as a procurement, or as we say, sourcing hero to take advantage of typically your spend items that you probably shouldn't be managing anyway. We always use the example, like it's a larger example, but let's say an organization has 100 million in spend and 10 million of that could be 10%. Could be your indirect spend or tail spend. We want to help you get that on contract and have a blended approach. And then basically you don't have to worry about it. And that's how we have approached it. And that's the idea. We encourage folks that are learning about GPOs and how they can be a benefit, that as long as it's positioned properly, again, we really believe in this blended approach for organizations.
I mean, the benefit to procurement organizations or any organization that's getting involved in a GPO is scale. Right? I mean, you guys can achieve scale and leverage in ways that other people just can't do that.
You said it right there. I mean, it's simply put, I think the other after effects which can be fun is we talk, you know, on average of savings anywhere between 10 and 20% on hundreds of different categories that we have in our portfolio. But then we try to go beyond that. If we're having conversations with C-suites or owners, what does an additional 10% to your bottom line do for your valuation as a company? What does it do for your employees if you can save 10% and there's an increase in your bottom line? What other investments can you make? So there's this cascading effect that we try to go beyond just the savings, beyond just, okay, great, you have this great contract and it's transactional. So we like to think more strategically and more long-term with our members and, as we say, future members, always looking to educate and tell our story.
Amazing. Now, let's get into a conversation about what's been happening with COVID, because I've been chatting. I'm in the very fortunate position to know a lot of CPOs and VPs of procurement. And the conversation has been, look, we can't afford in the future to have critical pieces of material or MRO, for example, the masks and all that kind of stuff. Any kind of PPE, any kind of MRO that's offshore, we just can't afford to bring that offshore anymore. We got to localize that. And the only way to do that to get the prices that we want at scale may be to start using or forming some sort of GPO that a bunch of organizations get in on so that they can at least source at a reasonable price locally. All right, have you been having conversations like that?
We're having a lot of conversations specifically around PPE. I don't want to drown your audience in more COVID talk, but what I'm hearing you say is, and it's not a surprise, but we need more resiliency in the supply chain. And this offshore, basically, noose needs to end. Yeah. And there's a price to that, but there is something about Made in America or North America, depending on, I'm sure your audience is global. I know you're, you know, Mr. Negotiation. So when I think about just the United States, we are having these conversations, and buying groups and consortiums have been around for decades, if not longer. So the concept isn't necessarily unique, but the understanding of, well, maybe we need to rally together and there's some more support here rather than offshore. And if we can get both the resiliency and the pricing, well, a GPO or consortium maybe makes more sense. And how do we, what does that look like so that we can come at it from a proactive standpoint rather than a reactive? And so we're having a lot of those conversations. There's a lot of, we'll say, data and discussion that we're going to get hit with another wave in the fall. I have no idea. I don't have my crystal ball. I'm not an infectious disease professional. But regardless, if it's the fall or something else in the coming years, we believe that our partnerships and our relationship as a GPO with our, we call them supplier partners, create some unique opportunities. So we've been in those conversations and we welcome more of them.
Yeah, I mean, really, more than anything else, they're looking about surety of supply, right? Yeah. You can't get stuck in the kind of positions we've been stuck in and not have the critical material.
More of a guarantee. It's security, to your point. You
know? Yeah, it's wild to see how the supply chain has shifted as a result of everything that's gone on. And previously, it was all about potentially consolidation and moving offshore to get play, do a bit of an arbitrage play and all that kind of stuff. But now it's not that way. We got to manage risk in a much bigger way than we have before.
Right. It's moved to the top of the heap, top of the list there as far as a priority, in my mind, at least in the conversations we've had.
Totally. And so when you guys are working with your supplier partners to get the scale that you need to start negotiating deals, what do you see as the biggest factors that lead to your success? I mean, definitely there's the scale aspect, but what's the biggest factors of your success when it comes to negotiating better deals? Like, what do you try and build into your negotiation to help you?
Well, and that help is a great question. And a lot of things came to mind when you were forming that. And I would say the number one, what we like in the negotiation or conversation, or if we are enhancing a current deal or an addendum to our current contract or category, is trying to figure out what the supplier partner wants and what markets are they looking to target. And so that's what's helped make Una successful, because we believe in this kind of trifecta. And kind of the old adage, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. And ultimately, if we can help our end users, which is our member, and our supplier partners, if those two are winning and there's a real synergy, I'll use the word, then Una is playing the right role as a facilitator. Yes. And so we're really trying to identify, as again, use the negotiation, and it's not necessarily a tactic, but just outright, upfront, direct, what do you want? What markets do you want to serve? What's an area we should stay away from? How do we help, rather than being horizontal, more vertically focused after target markets that make sense for you? And hey, we have XY committed volume that we can do or bring into this conversation. So if you can start to share volume and dollars and transparency and lead with, not this is what Una wants or this is what our members want, what do you want, supplier partner? And that has opened up our conversations dramatically, not only in the short term, but then thinking, which is always tricky, long term, what happens? And what happens if this, if X happens or if Y happens? And so that has really opened up a lot of conversations, simply put, starting with, what do you all want? What does success look like for you, supplier partner?
That's a very different approach, isn't it? I mean, often when we're negotiating one-on-one, especially from a procurement perspective, oftentimes we get stuck in this mindset of, you know, it's about me and what I want as a procurement person. And if you can't deliver that, then I'm going to obviously go and find someone else. But the benefit I think that you have being able to operate at the scale that you do is you can have the conversations on both sides and then pick and choose the members that make sense to be a part of that deal, because now everyone wins. Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about another company that I run called Content Callout. It is a thought leadership brand marketing company. Now, what does that mean? It means that we take you as an executive or entrepreneur, a leader of a small or medium-sized business, and we turn you into a thought leader online. We take your personal brand and we amp it up to 11. So that you can lead with confidence, knowing that people will recognize you, recognize your brand, and recognize your business because of the thought leadership approach that you've taken on social media through content creation and content distribution, as well as engaging with all of your following online. How do you get involved in this? Easy, easy, easy. Just go to contentcallout.com/get-started, and you will see there three different options that will allow you to take your thought leadership brand for yourself and for your business to the next level. We are super excited to talk to you about this. We've seen some massive growth with the businesses that we've been working with. Very, very exciting time for us. Look at that. We appreciate it. Now back to your show.
What we see a lot in the group purchasing space, and I'm going to lump this all together, but carefully, is it's saturated in healthcare, and it's extremely prevalent. This is where GPO's genesis in the healthcare space, mainly acute, which is the fancy way of saying hospitals, yeah. But it's extended into other classes of trade, the kind of standard language we use. And we believe that, and we've acted on this, at, you know, Una as a brand, as a company, from a value-based approach, is, look, supplier partners are just as important, if not more important almost, than our members and future members. And the reason being is we need, and COVID is a great example of this, we need that resiliency. We need that trust. Mm-hmm. We need that relationship because if they can leverage what they're doing and bring down, I'm going to get into some of the specifics, leverage their credit lines, put their butts on the line, and help us navigate with different members and different sizes. Specifically, I'm going to use the COVID as an example. So you can lower MOQs or not COD, you can do 10-day terms. I mean, some of this stuff was so rampant. A lot of the wild, wild west, people were having to pay up front. But if you can, we've been able to kind of work with our partners. And if you have this trust background and you have all this success track record with them, you start to, you know, if you're a member of UNO or hopefully other partner consortiums like us, you start to get treated a little bit differently. And these suppliers understand like, okay, well, UNO goes to bat differently. And this is how they've treated us in the past. And now we're in a crisis. Let's see how things really show up. And so we believe that the opportunities that we've created for our members and then how we've responded not only in this crisis, but prior in the past to our supplier partners continues to open up new opportunities because it's, I think it's, you know, it's our guy overseas, never waste a good crisis, which is, I know, a tough term right
Churchill,
now,
yeah.
But to Churchill's point, so it's a great opportunity. And so now we have an opportunity with our members, but then our supplier partners of how we've been treating them, like you said, from the negotiation table to when things aren't going right, to a crisis when they've got to furlough and lay people off. So it is key, as you would know, as Mr. Negotiator, and I mean that, relationship. People want to do business with people that they like.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had, you know, there's a lot of rotation and furloughs and people going. How do we manage that as a brand, as an UNO, as an organization, and have empathy, not only for our members, for our supplier partners? And so we've been really focusing on that and how can we help and be an advisor rather than right hook, let's go. I know you're sucking wind because you're behind on your budget. That's obvious. So we believe that there's going to be a cost-cutting conversation that makes sense. And sometimes we just have the conversation and maybe make introductions. Maybe you're not open to a GPO or you're not getting support at a C-suite. So we just think really long-term and we want to lead with our values first.
Do you guys get into QA, QC on the ground when you're doing like offshoring, for example, when you're buying something from,
we don't,
let's say, Asia or anything like that?
I'll cut you off. Not because, I mean, ultimately, a lot of our suppliers and distributors are handling that. We will assist, but that's not something that UNO gets into. We rely on our supplier partner network to handle those types of dynamics. Most of the time, we're guiding and handholding and working with our members, just trying to make sure there's open transparency about the basics of the contract and the agreement. And is there any autonomy or flexibility or enhancement that can come, whether it be based on a specific member or a group of members?
Neat. Now, healthcare has had GPOs for forever, but what are the industries that don't, like, they're just, GPOs are like a novel concept to them?
I dare say it's not quite a novel concept in business, but just a general business community, it will shock you. I mean, you even stated it, how many folks don't even know that this is available, that a group purchasing opportunity is available and what categories and what the value is. So I'll say business. More specifically, there's been some that have had some success in manufacturing, but as far as this open range uniqueness, I mean, there's some specific categories. We're seeing some vertically specific GPOs for like attorneys or accountants or others, but it's amazing what we're seeing from just some of the leads that are coming through with our supplier partners, because we want to work so closely with them on how we exchange ideas and in different customer opportunities, or as we say, member. I have to go back to it, Mark. It's been amazing just to see the general business community, everything from shipping to office supplies to, again, travel, that'll pick back up. We're having technology conversations. Jansan is huge. PPE is huge. And they're just learning like, so I can access the GPO. Again, it's the general business community. Again, our actual, we call them sourcing heroes, like these procurement folks, these CPOs, and then their teams that support the CPO or the C-suite. We call them our sourcing heroes. Our average member that we're targeting is anywhere from 1,000 employees to 5,000 employees. Maybe they have a couple on their staff. Maybe they have a floor of folks, depending on how big they are. And it'll shock you how much they just don't understand our space or what's available, or that there's not a lot of strings attached. So I guess to answer your question, I would say we are continuing to find ourselves educating different verticals just in the general business community that continue to surprise us on a weekly basis.
Amazing, man. And a lot of it is material based, but what about services? Do you guys do that as well?
You know, we've done some services. There's some construction services, you know, from the ground up. Like you said, products, mainly MRO, Jansan. There are some waste management services. There's some food service services that we've got access to and some of our family of companies. So there are some service based. It's mainly products. But, you know, a lot of our job is if we get asked, maybe there's a sourcing opportunity there, a relationship we can build. But with our extensive portfolio, we have 2,000 categories, mainly products. But for the most part, there are, I guess to your point, there are some service opportunities that uniquely, and for the most part, it's around products.
Incredible, man. As we close off this conversation, there's a couple of things I want to touch on before we let the listeners go. Number one is scale and how important scale is and leverage is in purchasing. We talked about that, and that's so important. But also, one of the things that you spoke about that I think is critical that we re-talk about again is approaching the vendor partner, the supplier, to say, hey, what do you want to get out of this? And I think it's going to have to be a mindset shift for a lot of procurement people to think that way, because it's been so much about us and what we can get out of it. And now with all the risk that's involved, we need to be having those types of conversations. And so oftentimes we're dealing with supplier salespeople where, let's say, if we asked a salesperson, well, what do you want to get out of this? And they're like, well, more sales. Yeah. And like, well, that's not a real answer, man. Like, what's obviously you want more sales. But what are the other types of questions that we could ask to try and ascertain like what the suppliers need or want from us?
Yeah, and I would escalate the conversation of hopefully beyond just the sales executive that you're speaking to. So I would definitely, the practical step number one is escalating that conversation to the higher ups. And of course, you know, money and spend and volume does talk, but ultimately I think the landscape has changed. So maybe there's opportunities where you can bring in other parties to the conversation to bring more value, not just you alone as an organization that may have 10 locations, 100 locations, maybe even 1,000 locations. We've seen some of our members, we can collaborate internally. Can we bring in other partners, maybe even competitors or not competitors, if you will, to escalate the conversation, to show that we're serious? I'll say some other things that really help is showing commitment and agreeing to that commitment up front. Hey, I'm willing to do 80, 90%, signing long-term deals, looking at that, understanding, you know, inflation and how that goes and factoring that in and making it kind of this proportionate back and forth are all things that I would throw on the table when going to that negotiation or renewal process, if you will, depending on the category. And then the third thing, depending on the incumbent, that changes everything too. Are you working with your incumbent? Or are you going to bring another party in? And that'll change the conversation, not necessarily as a threat, but I think it's important that we call it, you know, healthy tension. And Una tries to facilitate that healthy tension between the various partners, supplier partners that we have and the end user member. And I know you're laughing because it's
I love it.
It is a healthy tension, but I think to be able to talk about that and, you know, again, healthy conflict is great. And our job is to help not only the partner, but the member and make sure that there's a real win here, not just a short-term opportunity that either party doesn't benefit. There's too much to discuss. There's too much opportunity to not make it a win-win.
Totally. A few of the things that I found that have really worked for me when I've been discussing this with a lot of suppliers is, I mean, beyond the sales and the money and all the rest of it is co-marketing and co-branding opportunities, whether it's like a press release that you would release or a presentation that you would give or whatever it might be. There's so much value to sales organizations, to suppliers, to get you to say, hey, I'm using this company.
Yep.
That's big for them. And I know a lot of large companies.
The vote of confidence.
Yeah, man, it's huge.
My head of marketing probably is slapping me right now when this comes out, but we do that. We do that with some of our supplier partners. And we just, these brand partnerships are real. And there's a lot of impact that can bring.
Totally. Yeah, and a lot of suppliers are willing to make some serious concessions to say, okay, we'll cut you a serious deal if we can get these marketing opportunities.
Excellent point.
Yeah, amazing, man. Okay, what do you want to leave the listeners with as we close off? What's the most important thing that you think they need to know about negotiation?
You know, when I think of negotiation, because I know you've had Chris Voss on, you're in 7 to 10 of negotiations a day.
Yes.
And I believe that. Obviously, he's a well-respected background, and I love his book, and I've listened to his masterclass as well. For me, as I would say, I'm still learning the arts, which is the negotiation. Mm-hmm. I'm just a big believer in transparency and relationship and making sure you don't have to figure it out that day. I have a high sense of urgency of getting deals done, not just in negotiation, but just in life in general. And sometimes that gets in my way, but understanding, look, we need to get all the facts on the table. So when it comes to negotiation, I think of transparency. I think of relationship. It's mm-hmm. like our moms said, or our dads, how do you want to be treated? You know, the loudest in the room and the biggest stick, that's not how to do it. I wouldn't recommend that. And be patient. There is a patience element to good negotiation, good relationship building. Good things take time.
Yeah. Yeah. Critical, man. Love that. Great closing thoughts. How do people find you online and how do they find Una online?
Yeah. So you can find me at anthonyclervy.com. Would love to connect with you. Talk a lot about just leadership strategy, sales, how to empower leaders and business owners. And then at una.com, una.com. It is that simple. You can find us there. We'd love to connect with you, start a conversation, and just tell you about our story, what we've been doing, how we're helping members, some of our supplier partners. And if there's any way we can help and provide value for your audience or anybody that you all know, we would be honored and delighted to speak to them.
Amazing. And for the listeners, just so that you know, we will link out to everything that Anthony does in our show notes. So if you didn't catch that, don't worry about it. You can go to our website, look at the show notes. We're going to be linking out to Una and his personal profile and his social stuff and all that kind of fun stuff, just to make sure that you have every way you can reach him possible. Anthony, thank you so much for being on the show, man. It was a great pleasure to talk to you. I know group purchasing organizations are not, or in the past, haven't been like a hot topic, but now it's just exploding. And so we're super grateful to get your thoughts on what it's all about, man. Thank you so much for being here.
Likewise, Mark. Thanks for having me. Love your show. Love what you're doing. So look forward to continuing following you online and LinkedIn and other platforms.
Hey friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go on to iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.